If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And I want to continue on teaching in the book of 2 Corinthians. Praise God. Last week we talked about how important the Word of God is. It's inspired. It's pure. It's holy. And friends, as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, we are going to continually need to stand on the Word of God. And this morning we had an altar service. We had some people come forward and we prayed for them. And you can see some X's up here because we've got each person 6 feet apart. But we had an altar time around the altar, just praying and calling out to God this morning. And I think it's important that we recognize how much we need Him and how much we need to feed on His Word in these days that we're living in. You know, there's so many things happening around the world. And I keep saying that Sunday after Sunday, and it keeps increasing. There's more things happening around the world. And I honestly think that a lot of it has to do with control. How the government and government agencies want to control people. And really, that's all in tune with what the Bible says in the book of Revelation about the Antichrist and how he is going to control people. And, you know, I don't think we realize how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. Legislation has been developed in a few states that employees cannot be forced to take the chip. How many know about the chip that you can put in your hand? There's been legislation passed in a few of the states that individuals, those who are employees, cannot be forced to take the chip. Wow. I mean, how close can we be to the mark of the beast and the control that a centralized government is going to have over the entire world? And so we need to be spiritually prepared for what's happening. And that's what you're going to be hearing from this pulpit Sunday after Sunday, is an encouragement for you to be spiritually prepared for what's coming. We don't know what's going to take place in the fall. They're predicting a second wave of this pandemic, and they're already preparing us. It's interesting, isn't it? They're already preparing us for what they say is coming. And so we just need to be discerning in these days. This is not a time to take a spiritual vacation. How many know what a spiritual vacation is? That's a time where you just set your Bible aside and let it gather dust, and you just have a good time and forget about praying and forget about getting into the Word. This is not a time for a spiritual vacation. This is a time to dig into God's Word and to develop your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing you can be doing right now. Can I hear an amen this morning? That's what we need to be doing. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Father, we just thank you for your Word this morning. I just pray that you would just continue your good work in each and every one of us, Lord, this morning. That as we read your Word and study your Word and meditate upon your Word, that you will speak to us and minister life to us. Father, there's life in the Word, and I thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began in chapter 1 of Corinthians. So if you do have your Bible, you don't always have to look on the screen. You can look in your own Bible. And we began at verse number 1, and we talked about the will of God. And you know what? Every day that I live, I recognize how important the will of God is in every aspect of my life, how important it is to be in the will of God. So we talked about that. We talked about the church of God and how the Lord has constructed his church. A lot of people say, I'm against the organized church. Well, you know what? I didn't organize it. God did. God did. Now, we know there's elements of the church that have been brought in that are not found in the Bible. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the elements of the church that God has orchestrated. And then we said that we are saints. You know, you can turn to your neighbor and say, you know, you're a saint. You're a saint. You know, we are saints. God calls us saints, and we are to live as saints. But let's get into verse 2. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3, this is where I want to really dig into this morning, is in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. And that word comfort in the original languages has also the meaning of the word refreshment. Refreshment. You know, when they say to someone, we just want to make you comfortable, free from pain. But it also has the word refreshing. How many know there are times and seasons in our life that we need to be refreshed? Sometimes we get weary. You know, we get weary serving the Lord. How many know it can get a little weary sometimes serving the Lord? So there are times and seasons where we need to be refreshed, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then verse 4, who comforts or refreshes us, and I like this word, all our tribulations. Now, if you've never been through a tribulation as a Christian, you will. That's my word to you this morning. If you've never experienced a tribulation, that's a test. That's going through a time of great stress, of great difficulty. If you've never experienced that, I want to give you a promise this morning. You will go through a time of tribulation. And let me say this morning, as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, we are going to experience more tribulation. I believe the church and believers are going to be persecuted for their faith. And it's already begun. You know what? I believe there's going to come a time in Canada where this Bible is illegal. There's going to come a time that the teachings of this book are going to be illegal. You cannot speak this word. Or you can only speak parts of this word. Only portions of this word, but not the whole Bible from cover to cover. There's coming a time that if you preach the whole Bible, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. So there is coming a time of tribulation. But the Bible says that God has made a promise to us that he's going to comfort us in all our tribulation. Now, what kind of tribulation was Paul talking about? Go down to verse 8 of this chapter, and he explains to us some of the tribulations that he went through. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. Another word for trouble is, yes, you got it, tribulation. He says, our trouble, which came to us in Asia. And he explains the depth of this tribulation. You know, a lot of Christians today, when they go through a time of testing, they say this, God doesn't love me anymore. God doesn't love me anymore because if he loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. No, he loves you so much, he's allowing you to go through it. He loves, you know what? He loves you
so much that he's considering it a privilege to suffer for his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm missing those kids this morning, by the way. Oh, there's one back there. Okay, that's good. When you made your decision to serve Jesus Christ, you opened the door to tribulation. Now, we live in this beautiful little town called Creston, and maybe most of us have not yet experienced much heartache or difficulty, but friends, in many parts of our country, people are going through a severe time of testing. Churches can open up. Many large churches of 300-400 have yet to have services. Some churches have opened up, churches of over 100, and only 30 or 40 people have showed up. You know that? That's the truth. And all across the country, even where my son goes, there's a church of 1,000, and just a handful, not the full church, is coming. There's difficulty. There's problems. People have lost their jobs. And let me tell you something this morning. People are losing their minds. Are you hearing me? And you're going to see more of this. People losing their minds and doing and committing crimes and all kinds of other things that are going to take place even in our own nation because the stress is becoming unbearable to some people. And that's why we need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul explains it here. He says, we were burdened beyond measure. Now, I know this is the New King James. Maybe in your version it says something a little bit different. Beyond the normal tribulations that we all go through, above and beyond, above strength, the word says here, above the ability to endure outside of divine help that comes from God. So that we despaired. Now here's, this is real life talk. Now, in some faith circles, you know, maybe we wouldn't say this because it's kind of negative, but it's the Bible. Paul's saying here, we despaired even of life. We were not even sure we would make it the next day. We would be alive tomorrow. It became so unbearable that we didn't even think we would be alive tomorrow, but somehow God intervened and poured into us that the strength that we needed to endure. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you. Yes, verse 8 says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. You know that the Bible says that Paul escaped the mouth of the lion. Did you know that they used to, I'm sure all of you know this, that they used to throw the Christians to the lions? Did you know that? That was their sport, was to take the Christians and throw them to the lions. And Paul, the Bible says, escaped the mouth of the lion. For some reason, they didn't end his life that way. He escaped. Here he says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. God has to bring us through some severe testing. Why? Why does God allow Christians to go through such severe testing? Is it because he's up in heaven saying, you know, I just want to see how they're going to make out through this? No. There's a reason why God allows the believer to be tested so severely. And here's the answer, that we should not trust in ourselves. Hello? That is the reason that God allows us to be tested so severely, so that we would learn not to trust in ourselves. You know, trusting in yourself, it's a hard thing to break. You know, that flesh is so strong in us to depend on ourselves. You know, if we're in a crisis, we just put it on the credit card. Right? We borrow from our line of credit, and then we purchase it, and then we say, thank God for his provision. Isn't that what some people do? But you know what? That trust in yourself has to be broken in order to fully and completely trust God. You have to stop trusting in yourself. I have to stop trusting in myself. I have to completely die to myself and put my full confidence in God Almighty to get me, to get me through. Starting to get excited about this message. Now notice what it says, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Look at verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. You know, God decides when your life is over. Did you know the Bible says it's appointed unto man to die and then to face the judgment? And for the believer, our lives are in God's hands. Man may say your life is over, but God says, oh, not so fast. Not so fast. I've still got something for that brother to do. I've still got something for that sister to do. And if it is necessary, I will raise them from the dead. If I have a mission for their hearts. That's how powerful God is. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You know, God is in the process of continuing to deliver us. Did you know, you might not even know this, that if it wasn't for the delivering hand of God, you might already be dead. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. When we get to heaven and look back over our lives, we're going to see all the times that God was there to set us free, to deliver us even from death, and we didn't even see it. And I think about two people in our church, Nadine and Theo, who were driving on Friday morning. And as they were driving early in the morning, a moose came out of the woods, and they hit that moose head on. And you know what? I've never hit a huge animal, but I know that it can cause death. They came out of that without a scratch. Their car was completely demolished. It's a write-off, their truck rather, but they were spared. Friends, I want you to know, when you put your trust in God, God is going to take care of you. Are you hearing me? He is going to overshadow your life fully and completely because God is sovereign and God is in control. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. Did you know that if God called you and I to go to the most infested, virus-filled place in the world, if God was calling us to go there, that he's able to protect us? Are you hearing me this morning? I'm not talking about testing God and going somewhere God hasn't asked us to go. But if God calls us to go and minister to somebody, and we know it's God, do you know God is big enough and strong enough and mighty enough to protect us? Hallelujah. If we put our trust in Him, He is sovereign. He controls every virus. He controls everything on the face of this earth. And God will take care of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, these trials and troubles that came to Paul are going to come to us. I want you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to look at a few scriptures this morning. Now, I'm not here to discourage you, but I'm here to prepare you for what's coming. I'm preparing you for what's coming, and I'm not talking about just the virus. I'm talking, like I said earlier in this message, I'm talking about persecution, where you are going to have to stand for your faith, where you are going to have to make a decision who you're going to serve. And that day is coming. So I don't want anyone to leave Grace Christian Fellowship and say, Pastor David, Pastor Ripley never warned us one single time. I'm warning you many times that it's coming. The Bible says, but know this, that in the last days, and this word last days is in reference to the last of the last days, the days prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Not if, not maybe, but they will come. That word perilous in the original languages means times of intense stress. I mentioned that earlier. Times of intense stress. The feeling of something just coming down on you like a 1,000-pound weight. Fear, anxiety. What's going to happen? The Bible says perilous times will come. The Bible describes these perilous times in verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I said this morning, I'm just bewildered how they're able to start NHL hockey and there's so many businesses are closed. How can they bring all, I enjoy watching a good hockey game, don't get me wrong. But how can they bring all those people? I thought it was only essential services that could come across the border. I didn't know that hockey and baseball was essential services. Hello, someone. Are you out there this morning? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I grew up playing hockey. Like the rest of us. Maybe. I don't know. But it's all found in this, having lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Don't go to church. You're going to get the virus. That's silly. Thank you. How many know these kids are listening? These children are listening. Somebody ought to praise God this morning that they're listening to this message. Look at verse 7 or verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Verse 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to look at another scripture. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Beginning at verse 3. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 3. Now he sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Talking about perilous times. We're talking about trouble. We're talking about how much we're going to need God's comfort in the midst of it all. His strength. His enablement. Look what it says here. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be, notice all this terminology, there will be. This must come to pass. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. How many know we're seeing all these things taking place right now? And they are intensifying. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. I believe there's coming a day when the believer, the true believer, is going to be hated by all nations. Wherever you go, you're going to be despised and rejected. But fear not. He is with you, hallelujah, even unto death. The Bible says he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Can somebody shout amen this morning? And then many will be offended. You know, that Twitter warfare, there's a lot of hatred going on, isn't there? Twitter, it sounds like a twit, but it's Twitter. Sounds like a twit, but it's Twitter. Can you see all the hatred? Someone takes a stand that's not popular by the so-called masses. That person is all of a sudden shamed on social media. I mean, even the prime minister gets involved. Do you see how this is all going to shake down as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ? The Bible says many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Look at verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound. Can't we see this today? Lawlessness, riots, looting. Sections of cities taken over by anarchists, all kinds of things taking place. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Hallelujah. It's going to take endurance. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take a dependence on God. It's going to take a reliance upon his spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to look at one more verse here before I close. I want to go over to Revelation chapter 3. I want to look at the faithful church. I'm giving you a lot of scripture this morning because I believe it's the word of God that speaks to us and ministers to us. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture because we need to hear the word of God. If you have a title in this section beginning at verse 7, it's called The Faithful Church. The Faithful Church. I pray that Grace Christian Fellowship will be known as the Faithful Church. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word. Hallelujah. This is a central thought here in this message to the church of Philadelphia. Here, Jesus is saying, I am commending you because you've been faithful to keep my word, to obey my word, to walk in my word. Hallelujah. To live under the governance of my word. Hallelujah. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Now look at verse 10, because this is an important verse. Because you have kept my command, what? To persevere. To persevere. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that true? Persevere. Oh, he doesn't love me anymore because look what I'm going through. I don't want to serve God anymore because I have a few aches and pains and I have a few trials and tribulations. No, it is that desire within you to keep on going, hallelujah, to put your hand in the nail-scarred hand of Jesus and not let go and to persevere. To persevere. Oh, I know. So many churches today are teaching that, oh, you'll never have to go through any trouble. It'll all be prosperity. I remember one prosperity teacher saying that he didn't even believe in suffering. He says, I don't even believe that Christians should suffer or ever suffer. Does he have a rude awakening or what? I guess it's easy to say that when you're on the top of the heap. You get in your plane and you fly from point A to point B. It's hard to feel any kind of suffering. But let me tell you, God is going to take those that are on the very heights and he's going to bring them down in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And he's going to exalt the humble. He's going to exalt those who come before him in humility and in brokenness. And those are the people that God is going to lift up in this day. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Can I just preach a little longer this morning? It sickens me when we were watching the American Gospel, how these so-called evangelists going about staying in $20,000 a night hotels, driving $250,000 vehicles, and say, well, you know, God is blessing me. Oh, no, it's not the blessing of God, folks. It's the blessing of the devil. Because let me tell you something. We need God. Are you hearing me this morning? We need Him more than the very breath that we breathe. Hallelujah. And I don't need to stay in a fancy hotel to prove something. God is with me every step of the way. Can you shout amen, somebody? It really bothers me when I see these things happening. People still send their money to these charlatans. I have been and visited some of the largest ministries in North America, and I have seen the gross mismanagement of money and the false doctrines that are being taught. Friends, we need to stick to the truth in Jesus' name, because it's the truth that's going to set people free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He says in verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Many refer to this as the rapture, the taking away of the saints prior to the great tribulation. Paul says, whatever you go through, whatever you face, whatever comes your way, God says, I've sent my Holy Spirit to comfort you, strengthen you, and to refresh you. He's not going to take you out of the tribulation. He's going to give you the strength to endure the tribulation. He's going to give you the power to make it through the tribulation. Are you hearing me this morning? He is going to give you, He is going to reveal to you His greatness to provide for you. Even when everything else falls apart, God is able to supernaturally provide for His people. Hallelujah. Now let me close, if I can. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 4. He who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, there's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. It's called a testimony. How many here have a testimony? How many here have a testimony? God brought you through something. God revealed Himself to you. God showed Himself faithful to you. That's called a testimony. And how God has blessed you, now you can bless somebody else. Because you know God is faithful, you can share with someone else that's going through the same thing, that if God was faithful to me, He can be faithful to you. You know, there's something powerful when you can come alongside someone and you can say to them, you know what? I've been through exactly what you're experiencing right now. I've been through it. And I can tell you, as a Christian, as a believer, that He was with me every step of the way. He never forsook me. Yes, there were times where I felt a little discouraged, but God was there to build me up. He was there to refresh me. He was there to comfort me. He was there to strengthen me. And if God can do it for me, He can do it for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that how it works? With all that God has done for us, we now have a testimony. Some people say, I don't know what on earth to share with that unsaved person. You can share your testimony that God saved you and you've been through some tremendous trials and difficulties, but God was there All the way through, he was there every step of the way. And he has proven to me that he's faithful. Hallelujah. He has proven to me he is the great provider. Hallelujah. He has proven to me that his word can be stood upon. His promises are yes and amen in Christ. And if God, what the Bible says about Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Friends, you have a testimony. Even in dark times, we have a testimony that we can share with others. In Jesus' name. Will you bow your heads this morning?